here are my way, my views on different approaches to life. Let's start with that of Hinduism. It is one of essence before existence. When somebody makes a watch, he has a purpose of that watch in his mind. The watch will do function A, B, C, D, and then he creates that watch. The Hinduism says it is the same with human beings. God had a purpose when he created you. So you got to find that purpose. Somehow, all your life, you got to find that purpose or become that purpose. These various Babaji's and Sadhus and religion and community will provide you with a clue to that purpose. It is like someone saying, along here is a sunken ship which had crores and crores and crores worth of dollars treasure. So you got to find it. And if there indeed is such a ship, then indeed it is your job. It's the only sensible thing to do is to find it. And to find it, you got to hire some agency, guide who will take you there. And that guide is that Babaji, that religion, the God. So all your life you keep struggling for that Param Sukh, Param Anand, that eternal happiness. Because there is some essence which God had before he created your existence. Essence before existence. And there is some happiness, eternal happiness, which you can find through asceticism and religion. That's Hinduism. On the other hand, we have Buddhism. And even certain ways of Islam, which says, Islam, some parts of Islam says, Samajhta hai tu raaz hai zindagi. Fakat zauke parwaaz hai zindagi. Don't think life is a mystery that needs to be solved. It's just going on and on and on. That's life. There is no mystery to life. There is no essence before existence. The theory of existentialism, I think by Sartre, Jean-Paul Sartre and Albert Camus, say there is no, this watchmaker did not have a purpose. So you don't have to try and find that purpose. Your essence came first. You were first created in the body. And then the essence has to come, if at all. And you have to find that essence. You don't have to find it. You have to create it. You are the creator of your destiny. So you don't have to find it, you got to create it. That is existentialism. It's all absurd. Life is all absurd. You have your own ways of thinking. The universe has its own way of acting. Both are right in their own ways. You think the world goes around by rules of ethics and morality. If someone does a good thing, life must reciprocate by being good to him or her. When he finds that he is good, but good things are not happening to him or her, he says, what nonsense is happening? He asks the universe, why? As per the rules, good things should happen to me. The universe just keeps silent. It does not answer. Because it works in its own principles of physics and cause and effect. It does not work on the principles of ethics and religion that you have created in your own mind. So the human person and the universe act on different systems. So obviously when you try and connect the two, it's absurd. It's just like I asking a Russian something in Hindi and he not understanding it, keeps silent. And I say, what a stupid chap, he's not answering. He's not understood. He works on a different principle of the Russian language. So that is existence before essence. That is what Buddhism's dukkha, theory of dukkha is all about. Life can never be achieving ecstasy. It is one dukkha after another. Buddha realized it. What he teaches you is not how to find a way to avoid dukkhas, as Hinduism does. He teaches you a way of getting used to it. There's a very great difference in accepting dukkhas and trying to avoid dukkhas. He says, dukkh to aayenge hi aayenge. It will come. There is no way you can avoid it. Just accept it and get along. In between, there is a minor ecstasy, pleasures, insights. So there's a beautiful philosophy called after the ecstasy, the laundry. There are moments of ecstasy. Even I get it occasionally when I'm sitting in meditation or I see a beautiful river or a beautiful natural beauty. I feel very nice, but only for a moment. I must accept that the moment will pass and I'll come back to normal life where all sorts of petty things will go on. I expecting the world to behave as per my rules of ethics, and the world will not behave as per my rules of ethics. I must accept absurdism, which results in dukkha. So accept it and just go along. After the laundry must come, after the ecstasy must come the laundry. The laundry, accepting the laundry is important. And why does it happen? As per Ernest Becker, author of the book The Denial of Death, it says, most other than human beings, all other creatures are not constantly aware that one day they will die. At the moment of death, maybe they somehow sense it and try and jump around and try and avoid. When you try and club a rat, see how he runs. But it is only for those few seconds that he understands death. On the other hand, human beings understand death from the day one. They know that they are going to die. It has been drummed into them. They have seen it all along, genetically or whatever. They understand that one day they are going to die. And they are shit scared of being dead. So what do? They find ways of avoiding death. And what are the ways? That ways of avoiding death is to latch on to something which will not die even after your physical body dies. And that something is immortal. It is God. It is religion. So what if I die? I will die in the name of religion. I will die in the name of my people. I will die in the name of being a hero to my community. I will die. So what? In the name of my children and my descendants, my name will live on. So while you can prove that my body will die, I can prove that actually I will not die. These are ways of achieving, perpetuating your immortality, which is all a big lie. But that is what human beings do. Human beings function at two levels. One is the infinite level of the mind. Mind has become so creative that it can really achieve greatness by thinking. Every mind can think of wonderful poems, wonderful stories, absolute pinnacle of thinking. At the same time, that same mind is housed in a body which is made of molecules and atoms, which is not worth $1 worth of money. It's just some magnesium, carbon and oxygen and carbon dioxide put together. So we understand that. We understand that despite everything, I may just die the very next moment and nothing I can do can guarantee that it will not happen. I know it will not. It will happen. I know that I am a worm and I am also a food for worms. Worms will eat my body. So that great anxiety of life, of oscillating between the greatness of the mind and the finitude of the body, is what the human anxiety is all about. And we surmount it by kahanis of religion, being hero, society and such like stuff. We are creatures, we are just creatures. It is well captured by Ernest Becker about the girl. He says, oh Saelia, Saelia. Saelia is the name of the girl. Oh Saelia, Saelia, no wonder I have lost my wits. Saelia, Saelia, oh, Saelia, shits. Being so beautiful, being a thing of beauty. On the one hand, on the other hand, she also shits. She must be farting, she must be sneezing, she must be itching, she must be feeling hungry, she must be having sexual desires. So do I. So on the one hand, we have this creatureliness, which we can't get rid of. And the other hand, we have that mind which just takes you to sublime heights. So that is, we got to accept that anxiety will always remain. And because of that anxiety will come the dukkhas. So just accept it, live along. Forget about religion, being a hero, living in the names or lives of your children or people you leave behind or the donations you give. It's all nonsense. Just accept that one day you will just die and that is the end of it. Thank you. Alokasthana.